The Pete Best Band is touring the United States this summer. Pete Best preceded Ringo Starr as the drummer for the Beatles, but his connection to the band goes way back to his teenage years in the basement of 8 Hayman's Green, Liverpool, England. There, Pete, his brother Rogue, and their mother Mona ran the Casbah Coffee Club. On opening night, Saturday, August 29, 1959, Ken Brown, John Lennon, Paul McCartney, and George Harrison introduced themselves as the Quarrymen and sang Long Tall Sally. That story and more are in a new book, The Beatles, The True Beginnings, written by Rogue Best with Pete and Rory Best. And Pete Best joins us from our New York bureau. How nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, Leanne.
How was it your mom could open up a club in the basement of your house? I mean, whatever possessed her to do that?
She had a dream, plus the fact she also wanted to get rid of all our friends and get them down into the basement. And what happened was, she was watching a program, Leanne, which was talking about coffee bars, which were very, very big in England at that time. And being a businesswoman and having a dream, she decided that she wanted to open a club in the basement of our house and turn it into an exclusive coffee club as opposed to a normal coffee bar. And she basically unloaded that onto the family, and work started furiously the next day.
This was a huge Victorian house. You describe it had something like 15 bedrooms. You describe it was almost like a castle with grounds. But tell us how she got the money to get it.
My younger brother Rory, who was going to school, you know, in Hayman's Green at a college called Marlborough College, he came back and told her one fateful day that he'd seen this property, which was lying vacant, which had been an old conservative club at the turn of the century. And she turned around and said, "Oh, I've got to go down and see it." She fell in love with it. She mentioned it to my father, John, and John turned around and said, "Nope, I'm not really interested in that, Mona." So she turned around and said, "Well, if you're not interested, I'm going to get it by myself." And how she did it, Leanne, was she had all her jewellery. She went and pawned all her jewellery at the local pawn shop. And there was a horse which was running in the Derby with a young jockey on it, Lester Piggott, who's now a household name. The horse was called Never Say Die, and it was at a great price of 33 to 1. And it romped home, and my mother had placed all this amount of money on it. And as a result of that particular winning through Lester Piggott on Never Say Die, that's how she acquired the house, and that was the start of how the Casbah came about.
She called it the Casbah because she really loved that Charles Boyer movie, right, Algiers?
Yes, that's right, but she also had a vision. I mean, if you remember from that particular film, Charles Boyer is accredited with turning around and saying, "And come to the Casbah." And she just felt that, you know, once the Casbah was opened, that would be the slogan. You know, the kids would actually come, the membership would turn around and say, "Come to the Casbah." And believe you me, that's exactly what they did. They came in hordes and droves to the Casbah.
The opening night, August 29th, 1959. Now, you weren't playing then. You were actually helping to run the place, right, with your brothers, serve coffee, do that sort of thing?
That's right, yes. It was very much a family-run business. And, you know, at that stage, I wasn't into drumming. But I was there on the opening night, and I basically saw the lineup of John George Paul and Ken Brown, which was the Quarrymen. I stood in the audience on that fateful night.
They almost didn't get together. I mean, your mom had booked, the Les Stewart Quartet, and then some of the members of that quartet dropped out, said they didn't want to do it?
That's right. And George Harrison and Ken Brown, when the band broke up, they came down and saw my mother, Mona. And George explained the position to them, and she was like left in this, I suppose you could turn around and say, the lurch, you know, with no band. Opening night was looming up. It was on the, you know, she'd already set the date in stone, August the 29th, 1959. And George turned around and said, "Mona," he said, "I may happen to have a solution to this problem." He said, "I happen to know a couple of guys that I used to play with. I know they're not doing anything at the present moment." She said, "Bring them down. I'll present the deal to them." It was going to be a residency, which was like gold in those days. Lo and behold, they turned up the next day, and it was John Lennon and Paul McCartney. And my mother, Mona, basically put the deal to them. And, you know, they turned around and said, "Yes, we want to do it. We want to do it. It's a residency. We're playing." And she turned around and said, "What are you going to call yourselves?" And John basically turned around and said, "We were called the Quarrymen. How does that sound?" She said, "It sounds wonderful to me." And that's how they came together again. And it's another one of those if factors. If, you know, the Casbah, you know, hadn't been there, if the Les Stewart Quartet had never broken up, if they'd never got together again, who knows, the world may never have found the Beatles.
The Merseybeat really did flow through the basement of your house, didn't it? I mean, we started with the Quarrymen, but all those names that we remember from that time, The Searchers, Needles and Pins, Jerry and the Pacemakers, I mean, you name it, they all played your basement.
That was the incredible thing. You know, this was the vision which she had, and then it came to fruition. You know, she was so rightly called, you know, the Mother of Merseybeat. That was a name which was endeared to her by the media in Liverpool, and it was very correct of it as well. But it's true what you said, Leanne, that basically every major band in Liverpool had the opportunity to play there, and they were clamouring to play there long before the Cavern.
What did the neighbours think of this? I mean, you had teenagers, you know, lined up around the block, clamouring to get in to your basement and listen to the emerging, you know, the British invasion sound.
Yes, I mean, there were certain neighbours who were, you know, frowned upon this this haven of rock and roll, and, you know, where all the kids were all flocking to. And the funny thing was, Leander, many of the neighbours who were initially had sort of complained or been a little bit resentful towards it, they were the ones who were in there 7 nights a week. They couldn't get out. They wanted to come and enjoy that atmosphere. It was on the doorstep. We're going to be there. And that's the way it went. It was just an uncanny place which had a, you know, wonderful influence on, you know, the kids and the neighbours and the surrounding districts.
For 3 years, I mean, this was really the place to go in Liverpool, to meet people, to hear music, to do this. The club closed down on June 24th, 1962. And by then, you were actually a member of the Beatles. You had toured with them. You'd been played the Cavern Club. You'd done all of this. And then in August of 1962, that's when you were dismissed from the group. And the rest is history. The rest is the Beatles' history. The rest is your history. But your mom kept in contact with the guys, with the Beatles. In fact, there's a interesting story about your grandfather's medals and John Lennon.
Yes, a lot of people would have imagined that after my demise from the band, you know, she would have severed her relationships with the Beatles. She didn't. She wasn't that kind of person. Now, in the dim and distant early days, Mona had basically sort of talked to John, and John was aware of the fact that my grandfather had won medals, you know, during his time of service with the cavalry out in India, you know, during the Raj days. And when the album cover and the design for Sergeant Pepper came along, John remembered these particular medals. And he asked Mona, he basically turned around and said, Mo, you know, we have a project in mind which is going to be called Sergeant Pepper. Would it be possible, because of the costumes we're wearing, to actually wear the medals, you know, which your father, you'd shown me? And my mother basically turned around and said, yes, John, if it's going to be helpful to you, you know, you can have the medals, but please ensure, you know, that they return to me. If anyone looks at the cover of Sergeant Pepper, you will see the medals that John's wearing on his chest.
Wow. What happened to 8 Hayman's Green?
8 Hayman's Green still stands in Liverpool. It still stands. The Casbah is still there in its total originality. Unfortunately, my wonderful mother is no longer with us. She passed away in 1988. But she left a wonderful legacy to the three brothers, Rory, myself and Rogue. We have, you know, plans for the Casbah. We want to see live music coming back again, whether it be on a band basis, whether it be on acoustic level. We'd like to see solo artists performing there. We'd like to see art exhibitions there. We'd like to see poets' evenings. We have great ideas. It's going to be something which will keep the name of the Casbah alive and basically put it back in its true place in history again.
Pete Best, former drummer for the Beatles, his band is touring the country. He and his brothers, Rogue and Rory Best, have written a book called The Beatles, The True Beginnings, and it's published by St. Martin's Press. Pete Best joined us from New York. Thank you so much, and good luck with your plans for your old home on Hayman's Green.
Thank you, Leanne. It's been a pleasure talking to you.